So our parsha is the famous parsha of Korach. Korach comes home all shaved. His wife asks him, "Who did that to you?" Korach says, "Moshe." Very interesting. Okay, so Moshe is the big boss, and you're not. Aaron gets all the gifts, and you don't. Gee, Korach, don't you see they're taking you for a ride? Korach, how'd you get them? How'd you let them sell you like this? Now you're all shaven like a pumpkin. Come on, Korach. And his wife eggs him on. And as his wife eggs him on, he is encouraged to think, gee, I can do better than this. Why am I letting them get away with bossing me around? Then Korach goes out and starts making fun of Moshe's teachings. He gets good friends, Dathan and Aviram, the two brothers. And he gets 250 people, leaders, to join him. And they come to Moshe and Aaron in mass. They wait until there are plenty of people around. And they start yelling, "Boy, you guys, you don't think you took enough? Everyone here is holy. Look around. Look at what fine people we are. Why do you think you should be in charge? Why are you so haughty? This is a nation of God. Why do you think you should be like this? Moshe, you're sitting there giving a speech. Everyone's standing before you. Why?" Moshe throws himself down on the floor. What's Moshe supposed to say? You know, when they tell you you're haughty, what are you supposed to answer? "You're arrogant." What are you supposed to say? "No, I'm not." So what's there left to say? Korach says he's arrogant. And Moshe throws himself to the floor. What's he supposed to say? So he tells Korach, "You know what? Tomorrow morning Hashem will call the shots here. Who's holy and who's his and who he's chosen. Tell you what, tomorrow morning we'll each take, you'll take a pen, and you and all your people, you'll put fire, you'll put ktores, and you'll see whoever Hashem chooses. You know, there's only one man. You know, we're not like all the nations. They have plenty of people who are the high priest. We have one high priest. One person's going to walk away alive. But you know what, you Levites? You got a whole lot from God, and you're asking for more. Don't you think you're asking for too much?" Now, Moshe purposely chose the fire pan because they all saw how Moshe's own nephews, when they took the fire pan and they did it illegitimately, so fire came out and killed them. So Moshe purposely took something which they knew was lethal. He figured, let them realize they're playing with fire, excuse the pun. And let them realize that they're not going to walk away alive if they continue this. So Moshe takes something which was most potent in their eyes, most real. And they saw that even Moshe's own nephews, Aaron's own children, when they took the ktores illegitimately, were killed. So Moshe's alluding to them, "Guys, don't you get it? Even Aaron's own two sons, when they went in with the ktores, were killed. What are you guys pushing for?" But they don't get it. So why doesn't Korach get it? Because Korach says, "I'm Ben Yitzhar." Korach takes his progenitors and says, I'm a descendant of such top people. It can't be I'm not on top." Korach has a vision where he sees that his descendants will be even greater than Moshe. And he's right. One of his descendants is the great prophet Shmuel. Shmuel is greater than Moshe and Aaron combined because of his humility. Shmuel is high up there. Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav u'Shmuel b'Korei Shemo. But that doesn't mean Korach is. Korach confuses the future with the present. Korach figures if everyone's going to be great, then they're all great today. If I'm going to have a descendant who's great, then I'm great. And that's a mistake. And it's a mistake which people make often. They like to read messianic verses and think that we're living the messianic era. Well, I haven't yet seen any wolves lying around with sheep. And yet people are willing to take verses that are juxtaposed with those and say, "You see, it's the Messianic era." But no, it isn't. It's not yet. It might be the pre-Messianic era, but we're not yet there. And the fact that we wish something to be doesn't mean it's here yet. So Korach is willing to put his life on the line, and he's going to pay for it with his life. Moshe says to Korach, he says, listen here, all the Levites, isn't it enough that you were chosen? Isn't it enough that you are the closest tribe? Do you still want the kahuna? Don't you realize you're fighting God's choice here? You don't have an issue with Aaron. Your issue is with God. And very often this is what happens. Just yesterday, there was a student who had a big issue with a concept in Judaism. And he said, you know, it doesn't fit Jewish ethics. So I said to him, pause, 1 second. It doesn't fit Jewish ethics, or it doesn't fit your ethics? Is it that you see a contradiction between Judaism and this concept in Judaism? Or is it that this concept in Judaism doesn't really jive well with your ego? Let's be honest here. Because if you want to talk about Jewish ethics, we can explain why that doesn't contradict any Jewish ethics. But if the real issue is that it doesn't jive with your ego, I can't explain why it should jive with your ego. And very often that's what happens, and that's what Moshe tells them. You're making believe as though your issue is with Aaron. Why is he the high priest? Well, your issue isn't with him because he didn't choose it. Very often we play this game. I don't like the rabbi, so I'm not going to shul. You don't like the rabbi, well, what does that have to do with going to shul? That's your mitzvah. Moshe sends word to Dathan and Aviram. And they say, we're not coming. You took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us out here in the desert. Now you're going to tell us what to do? You promised us a land flowing with milk and honey. Now we're not getting that. You think you're going to trick us? We know what's going on. So they take something which is their fault and they throw it on Moshe. And what they're really trying to do, and the danger of what's happening here, is that they're trying to shake the faith of the people in Moshe. And that's why Moshe turns to Hashem and says, God, if I'm supposed to continue my mission, then you have to be with me. And if you're not going to do this great miracle, if you allow them to do tshuva now, then leave me out of this. I want out. Moshe, when his job began, said to God, I don't want the job as leader of the Jewish people. Because the way faith works is that there's always room to say, yeah, but maybe he tricked us. Maybe there's a game. And God promises him and says, "Vegam becha yaminu l'olam." I promise you, Moshe, I will do it in such a way that people will not question your prophecy forever. Now Moshe sees that as being threatened. He says, wait a second. God, our deal was that if I'm supposed to lead the people, then they have to have clarity in the religion. And if people are going to get away with this, then there's no clarity. So Rabban Shalom, he says, they can't be allowed to do tshuva. Now there cannot be a turning back. Ordinarily, even when God wants to punish a person, and he prophesizes that he'll punish a person, the person can do tshuva. Moshe says, no, not here. You can't let them do tshuva now. If they've gone this far, and then they're not punished, then everyone will be able to question whether I said the truth, whether I changed a letter in the Torah. And that's why this time Moshe says, Rabban Shalom, if you take care of them, good. And if not, then I'm with them. I'm with them doesn't mean I'm going to turn on the Torah. That means that I will always be viewed like them. There's equal legitimacy between me and them. And so Hashem will do as Moshe asked, as we will learn tomorrow. There are great miracles and their destruction. And everyone recognizes that Moshe didn't make up a word on his own.